So, starten wir?
Ja. Du läufst, wir laufen.
Den Clap müssen wir nicht machen, oder?
Nee.
Okay. Gut.
Hä?
Did you get that?
So also, ich verstehe nur Bahnhof.
You only understand train station? It's all Greek to me.
Understanding train station. Living between cultures with Josh and Phelan.
Welcome back to another episode, everyone. Here's Josh.
No. And Feli.
It's always so cheesy. I hate to... We always have like a discussion about who has to start the episode.
Intros and outros is something that we're not that good at.
No, it's
I'm
awkward.
Decent at it when I film alone.
Yeah.
But when I record something with you, it's just kind of awkward.
I guess I'm just the... what would you say? Unlucky charm?
No, it's just because like we're already like talking before the mics are running, right?
Yeah.
So then it's just kind of awkward to suddenly go into this, oh, now we're on the podcast mode. Now
yeah.
we're like saying
on-air
hi
personality.
To everyone. Yeah, on-air personality. But yeah, welcome back, everyone.
Yeah.
We're still in Munich right now. So we actually managed to record two episodes for you guys in person, which...
Which actually, it'll be like two and a half.
True.
Because we just got done doing something kind of fun for the next episode. I don't know if we want to say it, but...
Yeah, I think we should. We asked you guys on Instagram what you would want us to ask people on the streets of Munich. So we got your responses on Instagram and we went out to the streets of Munich today, this morning, and we ran around with our microphone and we asked people about different things related to life in Munich, their view of Americans. And we're going to talk about those answers in, I believe, the next episode.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of exciting. So we've been in full podcast mode lately, it feels like, which is good. I have a little bit of, oh my gosh, I haven't been speaking English.
No, we spoke German all day.
Oh la la. I was going to say Vorlauf.
We have... No clue how you would say that in English.
we've managed to get a little ahead of ourselves or like build in some buffer now for the episode. So that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you been up to anything fun lately in Munich?
I'm
sure you're super
busy.
Ah, yes, that's right.
Well, you already know that. Yeah, I went skiing with my dad and my brother at a ski resort that's really close to Munich. It's like only an hour drive, depending on where you are in Munich.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Lengries Bruneck. It's pretty close and a nice resort. And I hadn't skied in forever.
Yeah.
I grew up skiing. I used to be really good. Or at least I think I was really good. Like my whole family is at a pretty high level because we're just like all Munich natives. And it was always kind of part of the family history. Like my aunt does it. My cousins do it. We did it that everyone would just go on skiing vacation every year. So like in the winter, it was usually like 1 week where we would go on skiing vacation and then sometimes on the weekends or just like for a day here and there because it's so close.
Yeah.
But I just like didn't really ski a lot in the last 10 years, ever since like kind of family vacations haven't been a thing anymore.
Yeah.
I haven't really been skiing a lot because it's also not my biggest passion. Like I never really wake up and feel the need to like, oh, now I really want to go into the mountains and ski. But we went yesterday and I wanted to go because like, just hadn't been in such a long time and it was going to be like a family outing, and it actually was much, much worse than I expected. Like my skills were completely gone.
Yeah.
To everyone who says that you do not unlearn things like riding a bike, or I've also been told that you do not unlearn how to ride a horse. The last time I sat on a horse, I 100% had it, unlearned it. Like, yes, you do. You do unlearn things.
No, for sure. I feel that way with music, to be honest. Like, I used to be very comfortable reading music, and now I'm like, wait, what note is that?
Yeah.
You definitely do.
Yeah. And like people, I think in a lot of cases think that if it's like something that your body does, then
muscle memory.
Then there's muscle memory, which there definitely is.
Yeah.
But it's still not going to be the same if you don't practice.
Definitely not.
Very self-explanatory, but it's just like everyone told me, no, you don't unlearn how to ski. You're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
I was not just fine. It was okay. You know, I got down everywhere and my dad and brother both kept saying that it looked just like it looked very good.
Yeah.
I guess my body remembered the movements and like I didn't look like a beginner, but I totally felt like in the very beginning, I totally felt like that was the very first time.
Yeah.
I'm standing on skis right now. I felt so insecure and not in control at all, which is not how you want to feel on skis. And it sucked because I remember how it used to feel.
Yeah.
So it really sucked. I was like, wait, but this was never a problem. How is this suddenly a problem?
Yeah.
I literally started learning skiing when I was 4 or so. So like, I should, you know, my body should know. But anyways, it was a lesson, and I now, even though it's not my biggest passion, I now have the plan to maybe go to Perfect North Slopes a few times next
season.
Just
ski more often.
That's the resort that's like closest to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really close.
It's like 45, depending on where in Cincinnati you
are. Yeah, so it's for Americans, that's literally not even, yeah, that's not even a trip. That's like, that's how how far Americans go to the next grocery store in some cases.
Yeah.
It's like not that big of a deal. So yeah, now my plan is to just practice a little bit more to get back into the skiing mode and get my skills back. Just because when I am here, I don't want to limit myself in what I can do with my family. And if my family or like, you know, my aunt, cousins go skiing and they ask if I wanted to join.
Yeah, you want to be able to go.
I want to be able to go and
enjoy yourself.
Keep up.
Keep up and enjoy yourself. And feel like you're holding people back.
I totally get that. That was a whole experience. But yeah, I think it was all just me. I guess from the outside, you could not tell. And like I did pass people. Like there were definitely lots of people who were worse than me. I think it just felt so freaking bad because I remember.
You were comparing yourself.
Yeah, because I remember what it used to feel like. And I was like, wow, I feel like I'm at the level where I was at when I was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was
Yeah, self-perception can mess with you that way for sure.
I felt so insecure. And I also feel like the older I've been getting, I just got so scared of speeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just something that happens in general. And then, of course, if you don't feel safe on your skis, I was just so scared the whole time of like getting too fast, not having the control to fully like, you know, decide where I'm going to break, where I'm going to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so dangerous also.
Yeah, because you don't want to hurt yourself, but you also don't want to hurt anyone else.
No, and sometimes there's other people who are not that great.
Yeah.
And then if you run into each other, a lot of accidents happen on slopes. Good thing was it wasn't crowded because it was a Thursday and it's not during any breaks right now. So it was actually pretty chill in terms of people.
Yeah.
And I loved being there. The weather was beautiful. The views were beautiful. The food at the chalets or the cabins.
I'm so jealous. I saw you had a gamknödel and I was very jealous.
It's just food in Germany in general, I feel like, has a pretty high quality. At least I feel like it's that way compared to the US. But at those places when you're skiing and up on the mountains, top notch everywhere. I don't remember ever having a bad meal at one of those places.
It's really tasty.
And it's not expensive either.
See, I'm excited now because I'm going skiing next week. So
where are you going?
I'm going to Austria. I'll be in, what's it called? Schladming.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be very fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going with some friends and it'll be a good way to get out of town and enjoy the nature for a bit before the end of the season.
I mean, the good thing is that I think we mentioned that in the last episode, it just snowed recently.
Yeah.
And that's also why we went, because like the mountains had fresh snow and
it's
kind of a good time right now to go.
And yesterday was a beautiful day too, so you got super lucky.
Yes. Well, you also had a fun day yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to say yesterday for me was completely like a surprise when I woke up, because the day before I had seen on Instagram that a friend of mine from the US, I went to school with her. We weren't like super close, but I mean, we knew who each other were and we were in classes together. And I think we even had a couple projects together in school. I saw that she was in Munich. So I messaged her and ended up meeting with her and a big group of her friends. There were like seven of them. And I ended up being like the tour guide for Munich. So got lots of steps in yesterday and was super busy with it. But it was really fun. It was weird being with like a big group of Americans again, especially in Germany. And it just was interesting to see how people interact with like the built world around them. Mm-hmm. You know, like I feel like Americans tend to walk around and carry themselves as if they own everything, but not like in an arrogant way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like they feel very comfortable in public spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was like some big artwork thing, not artwork, but big almost statue that they were like jumping up to see who could touch it.
Oh, really?
And I'm like,
which one?
It was near the Rewe, like between Odeonsplatz and Marienplatz in the Fünfhöfe.
Ah, okay.
It's like this big, it's not a statue, it's like a big ball that's hanging from the ceiling.
That's hanging down, yeah. Uh-huh.
And they weren't actually touching it, but like they were joking around. And I was like, I don't feel like many Germans would do that. Like,
no, probably not.
Like, I don't know, it just felt very American to me. Like, oh, we're in this public space, but we're just going to be like we're at home.
Right.
I haven't experienced that in a while. Not saying it's a bad thing, it just was like,
I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of Germans think that that's embarrassing or like you're not, because we talked about this one in one episode where we talked about how a lot of German parents tell their kids when you're in public and public transportation to like speak quietly, like don't disturb anyone. There's like an indoor voice and an outdoor voice.
Yeah.
Like when you're among people, you don't want to be too loud. And I feel like that kind of lines up with that. Like Germans just wouldn't want to stand out like that in public. Not, of course, there are Germans who do that, but just in general.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's not like they were trying to stand out. They were just having fun.
Yeah, they were just being themselves, being self-confident.
Exactly. Yeah, so, it just was funny to see those type of interactions again. I was like, oh, yeah, we Americans do that quite often.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really fun day, and it was nice to be able to show someone who I hadn't seen her in like 10 years since high school.
That's crazy.
So be able to show her around.
Dude,
yeah,
she
nine
was lucky.
Years. Yeah, they were super. They seemed super happy. I felt a little bad because I made them walk a lot, but I'm used
you
to walking
have
now.
To. You're gonna walk either way, whether it's you showing them around
exactly.
or them trying to figure it out themselves.
And I think they were happy just to not have to worry about like, oh, how do we get from A to B. Blah, blah, blah. I just kind of took them around and showed them what to do and told them what to eat and what to drink. And
where all did you go?
I mean, we just did like, it wasn't even that crazy.
Okay.
We met at Marienplatz. Then they wanted to go up to the top of the church, the Peterskirche. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not doing that. So I met up with them at the bottom again.
Oh, okay. So they did do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I've been
yeah, that's
up there
a lot
before,
of steps.
Though. It was a nice day, but it wasn't that clear. So you couldn't mm-hmm. see the mountains. Maybe if I knew you could see the mountains, I would have wanted to go up to the top, mm-hmm. but... So they went up there and then we went to Hofbräuhaus because they wanted to go to Hofbräuhaus. After we went through the Viktualienmarkt, we went through the Viktualienmarkt, then the Hofbräuhaus.
Did you eat there or drink
there? Yeah, Hofbräuhaus, yeah.
Okay.
The food was just eh. And then they were really interested by the knödel, both the potato one and like the
dumplings.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then what do? We walked past like the opera, through to Odeonsplatz, through the Hofgarten.
Uh-huh.
Then went to the Eisbachwelle, which they didn't know about.
Okay,
so like they were surprised.
In the tourists.
Yeah, I just don't think I don't think they did much research. They were just like, we're gonna show up and figure it out when we're there.
Right. The Eisbachwelle is that one spot. You guys may have seen it in videos, etc. Where it's like a standing wave in Munich, where there's always surfers all year round. Even now in the winter, there's always surfers there that just like surf that one static wave. Which I guess like I've never really surfed, but people always say it's very different than surfing in the ocean.
Yeah. But yeah, they thought that was super cool. Then we walked around the English Garden for a bit. Then I took them along the Isar.
The river.
Yeah,
river,
sorry.
Yeah.
The river, like the big river in Munich. I really wanted to get down to like the Reichenbachbrücke and sit. Like I brought a blanket in case they wanted to sit down and just have a beer because it was such a nice day. But they were too exhausted. So we just went back to like Gärtnerplatz.
Okay.
And then back to Marienplatz.
Okay.
So just, it was a nice tour, but a lot of walking, especially because... A lot of them, the majority of them had just gotten in that morning.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So
they were exhausted from traveling.
I gave them a full program. But it was really fun. It was super nice.
That's cool. So if you guys ever want to book Josh as a tour guide, I guess he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, I need to brush up on my facts, like give them some historical
That's
facts.
That's true. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that.
But
I
at
can
least
show
I can tell
you,
them
like,
generally what like this is.
Yeah.
Like the Residenz and the opera, rather than them not having any clue,
right.
But I don't have any interesting stories to tell them.
Yeah. I wouldn't either, honestly. Even though I've heard stories, like I've been on tours even, I've been on sightseeing tours in Munich myself, I just forget those things again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like maybe I'll remember, I think there was an interesting story about this one, but I don't remember what it
exactly.
was.
Exactly, that's what happened to me because we were at Marienplatz and I know that like the statue in the middle of Marienplatz has some sort of significance with the plague, but I don't remember what.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that has something to do with the plague. And they're like, what
I
does it mean?
Be able to tell
like,
you exactly either.
I have no clue. Yeah. But something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what I've been up to since our last episode. Now I know we've done quite a few of these episodes, but we continue to get voice messages in, so we thought that we would do another dialect episode. So you guys have had the opportunity to send us audio clips of you speaking your dialect or your version of whatever, I guess English or German.
Yeah, or your accent.
Or your
doesn't
accent.
Have to be a full-on
yeah.
dialect, yeah.
And we try to figure out where you're from based off of the way that you speak.
And I think this is like episode 7 or so of the series.
Is it really?
I think like 6 or 7, something like that.
Wow.
And if you guys have seen the previous episodes, you know that if it were a competition, I would be like literally like at 0 and Josh would be like winning because he's just really good, obviously, with languages and dialects and accents and regions, both for English and for German. Like you're better with the German ones too. But yeah, we got a few more. And if you guys want to send us some, you can do so at anchor.fm/understandingtrainstation. So that's our podcast website. And if you just go there, there should be like a button where it says send message or plus message or something like that. And then it'll let you record a 1-minute voice message. And if you need more than a minute, you can do part 2 or 3. But we actually prefer it if it's all in one message, because then it's kind of compact and nice and doesn't take too much time for the episode. So the first one for today is from Janina. And it says Janina's funny German dialect words, part 1.
Let's see.
Hi, Josh and Feli. My name is Janina. I am from Germany. And I'm excited to see if you can find out where exactly I'm from and what I say. So I'll be switching to German now.
Okay.
Also im Alltag spreche ich nicht wirklich starken Dialekt, aber ich benutze halt einzelne Wörter, die sehr spezifisch für meine Region sind. Und da habe ich ein paar Beispiele. Eins wäre zum Beispiel niggelig und das zweite wäre schnöggelig.
Schnöggelig.
Man könnte jeweils sagen, jetzt sei mal nicht so niggelig oder jetzt sei mal nicht so schnöggelig. Und als Hinweis zur Bedeutung vielleicht noch, man könnte beides zu einem Kind sagen. Also sagen Erwachsene häufig zu kleinen Kindern.
Okay.
Und das letzte Wort, was ich habe, das ist woll. Das benutzen wir ganz gerne, um es an einen Satz anzuhängen und eine Frage daraus zu machen. So wie, du fährst morgen in Urlaub, woll.
Okay.
Ich bin gespannt, ob er herausfindet, wo ich herkomme.
Okay, also, English. Since she spoke German, my brain just automatically wants to speak German.
So basically she gave us three words from her dialect. She said she doesn't really speak too much dialect, like actual dialect in her day-to-day life, but we'll use certain words that are from the dialect.
Yeah.
Three of which she gave us. What was the first one?
Niggelig? Or was it
niggelig?
Niggelig, schnöggelig?
Schnöggelig and voll. The two, I think, are just adjectives, the first two. And then the third one is what she said they use at the end of a sentence to, like, get affirmation.
Yeah, so that last one, I don't remember ever hearing that. I feel like in the context, I would obviously understand it because it's, like, in standard German or in most regions, I think you would just use something like gel
or ne
or ne or oder. In Bavarian, you can say gel or you can say ge, just like G-E question mark.
I know that in Berlin they say va.
Yeah, true. So, that's like kind of like was, like
or va. Yeah. I think nicht va is where it comes from.
Meinst?
Va?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay.
Maybe. I think so. Who knows? But I have a feeling it's Northern German where she's coming from.
Okay. So like I want to talk about the first two words first because I feel like the first one, I want to hear it again. Was it?
Cause and she said you can use these when talking to children or about children.
So I feel like the first one might be something like nörgelig, like nörgeln or something like that.
What does that mean again?
Like complain.
Okay.
That was my first just impression. The other one, schnöggelig. I just feel like it's when kids are not in a good mood, when they're not behaving or something like that. But when they're like moody, but I don't know, I could be completely off.
Und da habe ich ein paar Beispiele. Eins wäre zum Beispiel niggelig und das zweite wäre schnöggelig.
Schnuggelig.
But it could also be something like niggelig. For some reason, I feel like niggelig just also has the ring of like maybe being like nitpicky or picky or something like that.
Like quaglig.
But I feel like, I feel like it's more like nörgeln. So probably complaining.
See, I think this is where you're probably going to be better than me because when it comes to guessing specific words, I think you have more German vocabulary that you can draw on to help you figure it out. Whereas for me, I need more context to figure out where she's from. I don't know what either of these words means. I think niggelig, I have no clue. Schnuggelig makes me think of snuggle in English. So I think like cozy or like a little snuggly kid. But that's completely based off of English.
But I think she gave as an example, like, don't be so blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. So I think it has to be something negative more. So my first guess, as you guys know, as I just said, I suck at these, so I might be completely off, but like my first guess was kind of like either like Hessisch or something like that, because I feel like everything that's like niggelisch.
But she didn't say she said niggelisch.
She didn't, but like that's, if I gave like a Bavarian dialect word, I could pronounce it Bavarian or I could pronounce it normal.
True.
So I don't know, for some reason it sounded like it could be something like that, or it could also be like Rheinländisch. Everything that has like the soft consonants, I felt like it could fit into that. In the north, I wouldn't know where they would, like the voll just doesn't fit in for me. I don't know where they would say that.
I'm just going to be random and say Sachsen-Anhalt.
Okay.
Because I have no clue. Okay. Like I said, the voll makes me think closer to like Berlin.
Hence because of the va.
Because of the va. But I have no clue. I haven't heard her speaking enough of the dialect to be able to figure it out.
Well, if you guys have a clue then, or if you know, if you're German and you know, or you're from another place and you actually know, put it in the comments.
Yeah.
And I guess we're now listening to part two, where I'm assuming she's going to give us the solution.
So the translation for the first word, niggelig, into German would be neugierig. And
so I was completely off.
Okay.
Neugierig is curious. Yes. Yeah.
So English would be curious, but usually it's used in a negative kind of way, like getting into other people's business. Mm-hmm. The second word, schnüggelig, could be translated as wählerisch in German or picky. Mm,
okay, you were right about that.
But I said but it for the wrong word.
In English. But it's specifically used for food, mostly. And then the last word, woll, as I said, we use it to turn a sentence into a question, and it doesn't really have a meaning or mm-hmm. direct translation. So, I am from the Sauerland region of okay. Germany, right next to the Ruhrgebiet.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where I grew up and where I learned these funny words.
Interesting.
I hope you had some fun guessing where I'm from, and thanks for making a great podcast. Bye.
Well, bye.
Goodbye. Thanks for sending that in, Janina.
Yeah.
I should have been able to get that. I have, I've had a lot of contact with the Sauerland, actually, because... Okay. One of the companies where I did an internship had their headquarters there. One of my coworkers is from the Sauerland.
Okay.
But I don't feel like they have that strong of a accent. I feel like most of them speak pretty standard German. So yep. I'm disappointed in myself. I wouldn't have been able to get the two words, but the Voi, that might have been something yep. I should have been able to figure out.
Oh, well. Thanks for sending that in again. We always learn something new.
Yes.
I feel like almost the more I listen to these, the more confused I get about like my perception of where things are from. But I wasn't like that off, I guess, with my...
No,
I
you
said
weren't.
Something like maybe Rhineland or something.
But, we'll give you that. We'll give you that, Feli.
Maybe. Okay, the next one is Vivian's dialect or Vivian's dialect. We'll see.
Hi, Feli. Hi, Josh. First of all, I wanted to say I love your podcast. I listen to every single episode
Aww,
and you guys are doing a great job. I'm going to tell you four phrases in my dialect now, then I will pause and afterwards I will tell you the translation and then I will tell you where I'm from. Geh mal wat für auf den Dubbel holen. Hol mal ein Pilzken und ein paar Klümchen an ne Bude. Sag mal, hast du als Blach zu nah an ne Mauer geschaukelt? Hör mal, sag mal, Sommer? So it means...
Hold on, okay. That was Berlinerisch, right? Or what was that?
I have,
that sounded
to be honest,
like Berlinerisch
sure.
to me. Let's listen to
I've
it
lost,
again.
I feel like I've lost my superpower. Not that it was ever my superpower, but...
No, I don't think so. That was just my first impression, but let's listen to it again. And because I was trying to also understand what she was actually mm-hmm. saying. I mean, most of it I understood, but there was a couple words.
Geh mal wat für auf den Dubbel holen.
See with the wat.
Wat.
Geh mal wat. It could also be like Ruhr. Hamburg or,
yeah, or, yeah.
Or true. But for I feel like it sounds more like Berlin to me. I can't tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Auf den Dubbel. Is that what she said?
Yeah, I think
Geh
so.
Geh mal was für auf den Dubbel holen.
Geh mal wat für auf den Dubbel holen.
I don't understand that.
I mean, go get something,
yeah, exactly.
But I don't know for what. For
me. Dubbel. I have no clue.
I mean...
We're stumped.
Maybe it's something like a weird term for pre-gaming. I'm trying to think like, or for what? Or for auf den Dubbel, maybe it's more like...
Auf den Deckel? No.
Or like aufs Brot. Maybe it's some kind of weird term for like, go yeah. get something from the store we can put on our bread. It's probably
yeah,
so
I was
going to
say, I don't think that's it, but
that's
who knows?
Like my best guess is because like, I'm just trying to think in which... situations would yeah. you say a sentence like this
mm-hmm.
where you tell someone go get something for
yeah.
XYZ or to put to do mm-hmm. something but often double it could be like a place where like they hang out. Next one.
Hol mal ein Pilzken und ein paar Klümchen an der Bude. Sag mal, hast du als Blach zu nah an der Mauer geschaukelt?
Okay, I thought sorry,
I don't think it's Berlinerisch. I don't think so.
Hol mal ein Pilzken und ein paar Klümchen an der Bude.
Okay, so hol mal ein Pilzchen, so go get a Pilsner.
Yeah.
And ein paar what did you say? Klümchen.
Klümchen.
An der Bude, so like at the kiosk.
Yeah.
I don't know what Klümchen would be, probably either alcohol Klümchen. Or something to eat.
Yeah.
Could be some pastry, could be like sandwich.
Buletten or something, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe buletten.
There's another word for bulette. With a K, right? No.
With a K. We say Fleischpflanze.
Yeah, in Bavarians, Fleischpflanze. Bulette, and there's another one. Maybe it's not with a K. But
last
I don't think
one.
It's I don't think it's Berlinerisch.
Okay, so what's your guess?
I'm gonna go more like towards the Ruhrpott.
Okay. I don't think it's straight up Berlinerisch. I'm gonna say like Brandenburg or something like mm-hmm. that. Last sentence. I'm not sure if the last part was connected to the
yeah.
previous sentence, but I think
hast du als Blach zu nah an der Mauer geschaukelt? It's basically a way to saying like, are you stupid or something? Yeah. And I think Blach probably has to mean child or girl. I feel like, yeah, so did you swing too close to the wall as a as a child, as a or a little girl or something like that?
Yeah.
Has to mean something like that.
Yeah, that would make sense. I don't know. Inhaltlich, like as far as what they're actually saying, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Like I understand individual words and that, but I can't make sense out of it.
So, okay, let's keep listening what the solution is. We put our guesses in.
Geh mal was für aufs Butterbrot holen.
Okay, you were right. Good job, Feli. Wow.
Hol mal einen Pilz und ein paar Bonbons an der Trinkhalle.
Bonbons.
Bonbons. What was the word? Krümchen?
Klümpchen. Klümpchen, oder?
I mean, it kind of makes sense, like if it comes from like Klümpchen, like yeah, like a little clump. But so yeah, bonbons are like little
sweets or candies.
Yeah, candies. Do you guys have like a specific word for a bonbon?
Mm-mm.
Not really, right? Like a
no.
Like if it's like a Hustenbonbon, for example, it's a cough drop.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't really call them drops, just candy. Usually. Yeah, interesting. Like a bonbon in German, it's specifically the hard candy that's wrapped where it has like the two little bow
wings. Yeah,
the wings.
Sag mal, hast du als Kind zu nah an der Mauer geschaukelt?
Ja.
Hör mal, sag mal, sollen wir?
Oh, we forgot to do that. Hör mal, Sommer, Sommer. I think Sommer? That's, hör mal, Sommer, Sommer, I think is what she said earlier. I would have understood that in context, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of shall we leave, shall we get going? I'm from the Ruhrgebiet, and that was Ruhrpottdeutsch.
Hey, okay, but I do have my powers still. You at least understood the, I think you understood the contents more than I did, but I was right about that.
Woo-hoo. Okay, next up we got Trina, where am I from? ?Accent/dialect test.
Hi, Feely and Josh.
Hello.
My name is Trina, and I would like to see if you can figure out where I'm from. I'm a native English speaker, so at least there's that to give you a hint. And here is my statement. I'm going to take some loonies and toonies and drive to a Timmy's to get myself a double-double. So essentially, I'm...
Okay.
Do you understand it?
Hold on, no. Not really. I thought, like... I feel like I've heard that before, and I don't know... I feel like I've been taught that before. Did we talk about that?
I doubt
it. What a loony is?
I have a very strong guess of where she's from.
Because, like, isn't, like, a loon... That's, like, a certain term, like, a loony.
In American English, like, to be loony, at least, is, like, crazy.
As an adjective. Oh, okay.
But she, I don't think, is American.
And here is my statement. I'm going to take some loonies and toonies and drive to a Timmy's to get myself a double-double.
A double-double?
So...
Is Timmy's, like, Tim Hortons?
Yep.
So she's Canadian?
Yep. I think loonies and toonies refer to their $1 and $2 coins.
Yes, that's where I've heard that. I think I've heard that in How I Met Your Mother. Where they talked about
I'm pretty sure.
I think that's,
I'm not 100% sure, but that's what I think.
It totally rings
and Timmy's,
a bell.
Timmy's is either very north in the U.S. or Canada.
So Timmy's is like a Tim common Hortons. Nickname for Tim Hortons. Or
I believe so. And then a double-double, I'm guessing, is some sort of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess, but I'm not sure what a double-double is.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
But I'm pretty sure loonies and toonies are $1 and $2 coins in Canada. I don't know where in Canada, though. I just was going to say, I'm going to guess Ontario.
That would have been my only guess because I don't, like, she sounds relatively normal to me. Mm-hmm. Like, normal, Northern American. Yeah.
I don't know why I don't think that she's, like, from British Columbia, but I'm feeling Ontario. Not sure, though.
People in British Columbia also speak pretty, like, standard American English in most cases, right?
Yeah.
The only, like, because I feel like I've, like, heard a lot of people on TikTok, et cetera, from British Columbia talk, and, like, the only thing that I usually hear with Canadians is, like, either they do the or they do the boot,
I don't know. Sometimes
they don't do it very strong.
Sometimes there are some Canadian accents that are just very, like, soft. Mm. They feel very soft. And then if you go, like, to Newfoundland out east, they have weird accents.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing Ontario.
Okay.
Drum roll, Canadian. And what I just said is I'm going to take some $1 and $2 coins and drive to the local coffee shop to get myself a coffee with two creams and
Okay, that's a double-double.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, she didn't even say where in Canada she's from, but she didn't even translate, like, Timmy's. She just said...
Coffee shop.
Coffee shop. But do you think...
I wonder if Timmy's is just a general term for a coffee
shop.
That's
what I'm wondering. If it just became like such a thing, like Kleenex, where you just use it to like whatever tissue you're using. And maybe they're just saying Timmy's for like a coffee shop.
Who knows? But Tim Hortons is a chain for those of you who don't know it.
And it's typical Canadian, right?
Like, we have some of them in Ohio too.
Yeah, I think I've seen them before.
There used to be one actually on the University of Cincinnati's campus.
Really?
I don't know if it's still there, but yeah.
I don't remember ever seeing that.
Yeah, it was like over near Sigma Sigma Commons.
Huh, interesting.
Like over near Daniels.
Well, thank you, Trina. That was really interesting to hear. Now we got John, and it says, name revealed in recording.
Okay.
Ich habe in 4 Ländern gelebt, spreche 3 Sprachen, kann mich in einem anderen blamieren. Un des pays dans lequel j'ai vécu parle français, et un autre parle français une autre langue que je ne parle pas. The other country I've lived in does not have an official language, and although English is definitely the primary language, there are many other languages spoken. Hablo también un poquito español.
Are we supposed to like guess where he's from originally?
I think so.
I guess? Okay.
He definitely has a North American accent in English.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So he spoke French, he spoke... Then he said he lived in a country that doesn't have an official language, which automatically makes me think the U.S., And he says English is the
dominant language,
language. And then he spoke a little bit of Spanish.
Uh-huh.
So, okay.
I'm guessing he's American. I don't know where in the U.S. he's from, though. Yeah. But I think in all of the languages that he's spoken, he's had a North American English accent.
Okay.
Thanks for the podcast and the YouTube channel. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Born in the U.S., father from the Bronx, mother from Boston, lived in Europe from 1965 to 1976, born in Bad Godesberg area from age 6 to 9, went to local schools, lived in Paris from age 9 to 15, Deutsche Schule Paris, Brussels from age 15 to 17, Deutsche Schule Brüssel, then back to the U.S. Senior year in high school was the first time in an English-speaking school.
Wow.
That's cool.
So he said he went to a German school in Paris and in Brussels.
Yeah, in Brussels as well. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, I mean, to me, I wouldn't have been able to tell that he's from the Bronx or Boston or either of those.
I think he definitely has more of an East Coast sounding accent than anything else. But yeah,
Tell that. Okay, next up we got Andrea or Andrea.
Hi, my name is Andrea, and I wanted to see if you can figure out my accent. A little hint is it's not just one language and one particular accent that influences the outcome. And most of the time, people don't get it right. I have heard very interesting places that I actually have never been to from people who are from those areas as well. And it just, it interests me always a lot what people think. So when people ask me, where's your accent from? I generally don't give them an answer. I ask them to guess. So I'd be curious to hear what you have to say. Thanks so much for the podcast. I only recently discovered it and I really enjoy it. Keep up the good work. See ya.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I hope, hopefully she tells us another one where she gives us the answer.
Yes, there is another recording where it says result.
Okay, so, I have a strong inclination.
Okay,
do you have an idea though?
I mean, this is like totally your cup of tea. I felt like I heard Australian or New Zealand, or I bet I felt like it was more Australian. But she says it's so difficult, I couldn't tell you what other influences.
So she's given us a couple other hints as far as influenced by a lot of languages.
Yeah.
I would bet money that she's not Australian or Kiwi, but I hear the influence, which a lot of people mistake for this accent as well. But because of a lot of languages, I'm assuming that she's been influenced by a lot of native languages from that country and then also by Afrikaans, which makes me think that is South African.
Okay.
She has, I don't know, there's some pronunciations of like the IRs that sound very, like the IR combination that sound very South African to me.
Okay, like in
I can't imitate it.
Okay.
But if you play it again, I can maybe point some out.
Hi, my name is Andrea, and I wanted to see if you can figure out my accent. A little hint is it's not just one language and one particular accent that influences the outcome. And most of the time, people don't get it right.
Yeah, exactly like the way that she said time there. Mm-hmm. It's not like a diphthong like we do in American English, like time.
Yeah.
But it's more like just one sound, and it's it's more like tight and in the back of her palate, I think. At least the way I hear it, but I could be wrong. I'm not a linguist, but that definitely sounded very South African to me.
Okay, interesting. Well, should we listen to the results?
Yes.
Hi, this is Andrea again. I'm having trouble sending my answer, so hopefully you'll get this one.
So, the way she said so as well. Sounds
complicated.
Sorry, the way she said so also sounds South African.
Okay, interesting. I wouldn't have known that. I feel like I am not that used to like how the way South African people speak, and like whenever they do speak, like in a lot of cases, it just sounds like just a different like British influenced accent to me. And I feel like Trevor Noah is like the most like well-known person that I know, like the way he speaks.
But also Trevor Noah doesn't have like the Afrikaans like white person accent that you're used to from South Africa as well. They have so many different accents in South Africa, but I don't know. It could very well be that she's not South African, but
no, I feel like that makes a lot of sense, so it's probably that.
Okay, I'm from Romania. Oh. But I don't speak Romanian. I speak Hungarian. And the Hungarian we speak in Transylvania precisely is slightly different to the Hungarian in Hungary. The accent's very different.
And sometimes never would have guessed this.
So distinct that Hungarians have trouble understanding us. But most of the time we still can communicate. And then I went to school in the south of Germany, in Oberbayern, and have definitely some Bavarian influence. And
I'm so confused.
I didn't hear any Bavarian influence in her English.
Not in her English, no.
For 11 years, I've lived in Australia, in South Australia, where the English accent is again different to the one in Sydney or the rest of the country.
Uh-huh.
So I assume all three have a role to play in my accent. And
I like honestly didn't really feel like I heard any like Hungarian or any of those accents.
No, I don't really hear any Eastern European influence.
Yeah.
Which is, but I don't think she sounds like Australian. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with the different accents necessarily within Australia, but right. It would make sense that if she didn't grow up in Australia, that she would have like a weird mix.
Yeah, which like how people sometimes think, oh, I sound American, but just not the same region they're from, or like not fully American, but they can't really tell. But yeah, I definitely wouldn't have been able to tell the Eastern European influence or German influence either.
That's where I'm from. Thank you for the great podcast. Bye.
That was a huge challenge. That was actually fun.
that's like expert level.
Yeah, that's even too high for Josh. No, I'm just kidding. But I guess we didn't get that one right. We got two more people. But of course, if you guys want to send us some recordings for the next time we do these kinds of episodes, I don't know if you guys want us to continue this. Let us know in the comments too on YouTube. Because look, we started this at some point and we had way too many voice messages to get through in one episode.
Yeah.
And then every time we wanted to like catch up or like finish up the remaining voice messages. Yeah, there were so many new ones. So we just kept going and going. Usually every time we're together in person, we kind of do one of these. I don't know if you guys are getting tired of it though.
Just let us know.
Yeah, let us know. But we're actually about to finish them up for now, like finally finish up the list. But as I said, if you guys do want to send us more, you can do so on anchor.fm/understandingtrainstation. So next one we have a recording where I'm not quite sure what the title is supposed to be, if this is a name or if this is a word. So I'm just going to play it.
Hi, Feely and Josh.
Hi.
I may be really late on this, but just in case you guys are still doing the accent thingy, people say that the accent from my region is super obvious, but I'm told that mine isn't all that heavy. Here's a phrase used to measure how heavy it is, in case you guys haven't figured it out already. The coffee costs a quarter in the corner.
I'm guessing New York. Or like
I feel like every time people bring up an example sentence with coffee.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can hear it, but very, very slightly. Like, it doesn't sound like strong New York, like what you would expect a New Yorker to sound like. But I hear just like, it's like a shadow of it, you know? Uh-huh. Like
the whole time I was thinking she reminds me of someone and I still haven't figured it out. Like when she started talking, I feel like I know someone who talks that way or like I follow someone on the internet who talks that way, but I haven't figured it out yet who it is. Let's listen to it one more time because I just like not want to pay attention to it. But isn't like, what's the coffee? That's like...
Yeah, that's like Brooklyn, like real strong.
Okay, Brooklyn, yeah. Because that's not what she did, no. No, it's just like every time someone mentions coffee in the example sentence, I'm like... New York?
But that's kind of, I mean, that was my main reason too. Definitely sounds more East Coast. We'll see.
Hi, Feely and Josh. I may be really late on this, but just in case you guys are still doing the accent thingy, a lot of people say that the accent from my region is super obvious, but I'm told that mine isn't all that heavy.
Honestly, yeah, I feel like it's from like a TV show or so that like I'm familiar with this.
Do we have her? Did she say what her name was? I forget.
Nirka?
No, I'm just wondering her ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I almost, and I could be completely wrong. Like I said, this is just where my mind goes. It almost sounds like there are some like Latina vibes in the way that she says certain consonants.
Yeah, that could be a thing. I could see that.
But I don't know.
Because like,
you obviously can't like tell someone's ethnicity necessarily from the way they speak. But in New York, they're very strong ethnic like accents
bubbles,
as well.
Like, yeah.
Anyway, here's a phrase used to measure how heavy it is, in case you guys haven't figured it out already. The coffee costs a quarter in the corner.
Is it the way that she says quarter that's
no,
different?
It's not even in the... To be honest, I don't know.
It sounds normal to me.
It's quite standard.
It sounds a little bit mumbly when she says that sentence. Like she said like a quarter in the corner or something like...
Yeah, the quarter. The example sentence sounds quite standard to me. I can't...
So where I'm from.
Yeah.
I'm from New York. More specifically, I am from the Bronx.
Okay.
Born and raised.
Okay.
Anyway... Love the podcast. Listen to you.
The way she said listen is what sounds Latino.
Hold on. I want to hear that again.
The L-I.
Love the podcast. Listen to you. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been binging you for a while, but yeah. Anyway, bye.
That's probably what it reminds me mm-hmm. of too, because there is a few TV shows that have like Latinas in them, mm-hmm. like Scrubs, for example, Modern Family.
Yeah.
And I feel like, well, Modern Family, actually Gloria in that show has a very strong accent, yeah. but I feel like that it's ringing some bell. I have to figure out which actual person she reminded me
yeah.
of, but it was like one of those things where it was like automatically I was like, huh, wait, I know this person. Like
yeah.
I've heard this before.
But I could be wrong, but I'm guessing she's like a New Yorican.
Well, if you want to let us know, if you want to reach out, then let us
know. Yeah, I really want to know now.
Because she didn't say that and there's no other message from her. But that was really interesting. Thank you. And
yes,
I guess we
you.
Had another person earlier that mentioned the Bronx being like an influence. So I guess
yeah.
that's like a thing today in today's episode. And with that, we're getting to the last message for today. And this one is from Ryan.
Hi, Josh and Feely. My name is Ryan, and I've loved your podcast from the very start.
Thank you.
Feely, I love your channel, too.
Thank you.
I took 5 years of German in high school and college, so it's been a fun way for me to stay connected to that. I've always loved accents, too, so I'll be curious to see if you can tell where I'm from. A lot of people tell me I don't have a very strong accent, and I tend to agree with that. However, where I grew up, there's a very unique accent that you don't hear very often outside that area. You usually hear it a lot from people whose families have been there a long time or folks who are just generally older. So pause it right now if you want to.
Okay, I'm pausing it. I have no clue.
You have no clue? General region, not even state, but general region. You don't have any clue
Let's
after that?
Let's listen to it again. The only thing that I picked up is that he said folks, and I feel
I think at the beginning he sounded very standard, but the more he spoke, I think I was able to narrow it down somewhat.
And I've loved your podcast from the very start. Feely, I love your channel too. I took 5 years of German in high school and college, so it's been a fun way for me to stay connected to that. I've always loved accents too, so I'll be curious to see if you can tell where I'm from. A lot of people tell me.
I mean, I know I say this always, but I feel like this has somewhat of a Southern thing because of the sing-sang a little bit.
Yeah.
And he said folks, and that always makes me feel like rural people. But of course, you can say folks anywhere in the U.S. That's literally all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, based off of his accent, I would say there's slight Southern influence.
Yeah. See, the thing is also, I feel like that is such a normal accent to me because my boyfriend has a slight Southern and so does his family Southern influence. Well, some people in his family have a stronger sing-sang like Kentucky twang, but that sounds so normal to me that I can hardly like tell the difference anymore.
But I'm guessing based off of the information he gave somewhere in Texas, I think it might be like I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with Texas, but I think somewhere in Texas, maybe.
Is that like a place where like...
There's a distinct
Yeah.
I think I want to say it's West Texas. I'm not sure, but there's like a... Maybe it's East Texas. I don't know. There's a distinct Texan accent.
Texas is so big.
But it's only because of the information he gave us, not because of the way he's speaking.
I mean, I don't have a very strong accent, and I tend to agree with that. However, where I grew up, there's a very unique accent that you don't hear very often outside that area. You usually hear it a lot from people whose families have been there a long time or folks who are just generally older. So pause it right now if you want to guess where I'm from based on just my accent. Okay, now I'll do the accent that is common for those older folks. Why don't you come over to my house later so we can see about this mortgage together?
Okay. So it's not Texas. I'm guessing it's going to be more like deep south, like Georgia, okay. Maybe even coastal, like Carolinas.
Okay.
That would be my guess.
I want to hear, listen to that sentence again.
Okay. Now I'll do the accent that is common for those older folks. Why don't you come over to my house later so we can see about this mortgage together?
He does like the open, like together, like almost.
Yeah, it's because he doesn't, it's a non-rhotic accent.
And where are those? And where are those located?
Normally deep like south, Georgia, Alabama.
Interesting.
And also Carolinas. But the way he said, I think he said house at some point in there.
Yeah, that sounded almost Canadian.
Yeah, which makes me think there are some communities apparently on the, like in the Carolinas that have a little bit more of that influence. Mm-hmm. I think it's called goose fronting. I forget. I don't know. There's one really good dialect coach that goes through, like does a tour of the U.S. or North America.
On YouTube.
Mm-hmm. So that's where I've heard some of this information. It's not because I just studied it, just straight from a YouTube video.
Yeah.
But that's what it sounds like to me.
He also said mortgage differently. He said like mortgage. That was also a word that
it's because it's a non-rhotic one.
Right. So because it has an R and he said it differently. Yeah, I would have no clue. Absolutely. I just don't know. Maybe I should just, for the next episode where we do this, I should prepare a little bit and watch. Because I know which YouTube videos you're talking about. I just don't really watch those.
Okay, I'm from the coastal area of Virginia.
You hear
that accent in what's called the Tidewater area, up to what's called the Piedmont. So basically,
I was gonna say Tidewater, but I was like, that's too specific.
Then he said something with a P, like P.
Piedmont, I think is what he said.
That's the place?
I think so.
Okay.
Beach over to a little bit west and south of Richmond. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
I know where Richmond is at least.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
But so you weren't like completely, you were pretty good actually. You just didn't say specifically.
It wasn't far enough north.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, yeah, thank you so much, Ryan, and for everyone else who submitted something for today. As always, I sucked at it, but hey, I'm learning
that's
something.
That's not true. You got the Butterbrot one.
Out of context. Yeah, that's the thing. Like a lot of German dialects, at least, I can understand a lot of what people say just because
from the context
and because there might be like another word that sounds somewhat similar and like another region of Germany and your brain just kind of pieces it together.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was it for today's episode, I guess. This is kind of a shorter one, which is good, kind of like a nice change. Because usually our episodes can escalate a little bit. But I do have more social obligations today because that's how it is when you're at home. You have your whole schedule packed with...
Jumping from one thing to the other.
Yeah, like appointments, but they're not really... In most cases, they're not appointments, but they're just social...
Commitments.
Things, social commitments, hanging out with people you haven't seen in a long time. So that's it for today. We're going to be back next time, remote, talking about those street surveys.
It'll be like remote. It's like half remote, half not.
True. Because we were together in person today to record those. And that was really cool. It was a little bit difficult to get people to talk on the streets of Munich.
Yes.
But we found some good ones and got really interesting responses. So we're going to share that with you next time in 2 weeks on Thursday. And until then, you know where to follow us. As I said, anchor.fm. You can also leave us a tip there, by the way. Mm. Or you could also tip us with the super thanks button underneath the video on YouTube if you're watching there. If you want to support us, of course, subscribe on YouTube, follow on the audio streaming platforms, leave a review on those too. That's like the best way to support us there. And of course, you can also find us on Instagram, Patreon, where we do our monthly hangouts, buy us a coffee on ko-fi.com. And yeah, thank you guys so much for your support.
Thank you, and see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, we'll see you then. Cheers.